It's crunch time on 95.3 The Score.
Yo, welcome to a Monday. It is the final Monday of August. It was an interesting weekend. Obviously, at the top of the sports calendar, you had the retirement of Andrew Luck, which sent a big wave through the sports world. We had lightning strike six people at the PGA golf finale, and you got to see the video. That's some scary stuff. Mother Nature don't play. We had the start of the college football season for real. What a train wreck the last half of that fourth quarter was in Orlando, huh? I was making a case. Could that be the most inept pass interference penalty? Fourth and 37 on an incomplete pass short of the chains. And a call that had to be made. So get that going for us, which is nice. We also had the really poor start again for the Pac-12 with Arizona coming up a yard short on fourth in the game. Khalil Tate on the rollout rolls right, cuts back, and all of a sudden is out of real estate, and he's got two rainbow defenders set to put him down. And that was that. Haven't even mentioned all the MLB with the Yankees and Dodgers at Chavez Ravine. The Braves are now the hottest team in baseball. Washington is coming up on the outside. I mean, that wild card race in the National League that looked like it was going to be an eight-way tie and a play-in to play the play-in to see who could host the play-in for a play-in before they get to the actual wild card game.
I'm still dreaming it can happen, man. I think it could. Couple hot weeks from a couple teams here and there. Woo! Right back in it.
Although, more often than not, you see, either somebody goes wayside or somebody extends like the Nats are doing right now. And the irony of this team, who, I don't know the best way to say it, has been considered in the hunt for the past 6 or 7 years, missed the playoffs last year, and now suddenly not even seen as a viable contender with the loss of Bryce Harper. We're seeing probably third or fourth behind Philly and the Mets are right there now. And the wild card leader with seven games left against Atlanta, six games back. And they are starting to score runs in bunches. They're third now in the National League offensively, and they're only like 19 or 20 runs behind LA for the league lead. And that front three of Max Scherzer and Steve Strasburg and Pat Corbin, pretty formidable as far as any you'd see in any rotation. Houston, obviously, with Verlander and Gerrit Cole would probably have something to say. Wade Miley has had a real... Oh, and, yeah, obviously, the addition of Greinke, who, by the way, now 4-0 with a 2-4 ERA since his trade from Arizona. There you go. I got the Duck organizational chart.
Woo!
And there are some oars in interesting spots. Jacob Breeland, Cam McCormick, tight end.
Had the wrong pod potted up, so you only heard the end there.
CJ Verdell, Travis Dye. No or between Justin Herbert and Tyler Shuck. Big time surprise there. What else do we have? Wide receivers, Juwan Johnson, Jalen Red, Johnny Johnson. No surprise there. I was looking at this, and they've got Ryan Bay listed as an H-back, or is that just an H position with Camp Moyer? Jake Hansen, the starter, Lemieux, the starter, Penei Sewell, starter, that's center left. Then the Oars come in at right guard, a three-way with one of the juniors that Nick pronounced the name, we'll be pronouncing the name during the update. I'm just going to leave it there. Malasala, Omavea, Lualu. How close am I?
I think that's pretty close. I still haven't seen a pronunciation guide, but you know, a lot of the Polynesian players and guys like that will have, like, most of the names are pretty much like what you see is what you're supposed to be pronouncing and like when it's supposed to be there. So a lot of, like, especially, like, you know, I learned about this when I went to Hawaii, but, like, when you're trying to read something and you see letters that are there, you're almost going to pronounce all of them. Like, there's no silent letters or anything right. Weird like that. So, yeah, I think Malasala Amave Lualu.
All right. Is he, has he been around or is he a transfer or he's a junior? And I'll be perfectly honest. And remember, I don't deep depth chart. Like a lot of the people who exclusively cover Oregon, if they're not on the field participating, they're out of my field of vision. Then Throckmorton or Aiello with George Moore at right tackle. Three seniors as an option there. Jordan Scott on the nose at one tackle. Austin Feliu and Drayton Carlberg are seen as an or. Kayvon Thibodeau, the true freshman, in the mix with Cumberlander and DJ Johnson at one defensive end spot. I feel like we could call the linebackers have no oars about them. With Bryson Young, a senior, Slade Matatua, a sophomore, and TD. Troy Dye, who came back with Lamar Winston, so that's the 3-4. Verone McKinley was a guy whose name had popped up, and I believe Coach Cristobal himself had singled out on at the nickel position with Hockey Woods, Thomas Graham, Javon Holland. Then Diamador Lenore all look etched at their spot, and then Brady Breeze, Nick Pickett, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You know, you got 12 positions, I guess, contingent. By the way, how about the, it's like an ore mine, if you look at special teams between the punters and the kickoff, oh, place kickers, my bad. So I think I heard Coach Cristobal say something along the lines of, that's going to play itself out. With Adam Stack, Zach Emerson, Lake and Boozer, Camden Lewis, the freshman in the place kicking race, with the same three in line for kicking off. Blake Mimone looks like he's the punter. Kick returners. Travis Dye and Jalen Red are the only two listed, and that's a whole bunch of explosiveness. Punt returners die in the mix as an or, along with Javon Holland. Karsten Battles, the long snapper. Mamone, the holder. So that's the organizational chart. I was on College Sports, collegepressbox.com. Considering it's Monday, some of the coaches are not behaving. Those who don't release. There's a few. I think in typical biggest pain in the ass that draws breath on a regular basis. Harbaugh doesn't release a depth chart. Who was the original pain? Omora at UCLA. It's like, I have no ill will against him, but when I find out he got fired, it was like, I'm sorry, when I had to do prep work for your games and I couldn't pull up a depth chart, I rooted against you. Check your defense at the door in that Hawaii-Arizona game. Jeez. Like 825 yards passing. So this week, you've got UCLA Thursday at Cincinnati. Also, Kent State at Arizona State and Utah BYU. So, very strange. The Arizona played Saturday. They're not playing this weekend. Five of the teams, so half the league, will not be playing on Saturday. You got the Doggies playing at noon on the Pac-12 TED Network with Ted Kukuchu, Mr. Robinson, Yogi Roth, and Lewis Johnson working at the Pac-12 Network. Stan Fried is on at 1 with Joe Davis, Brock Heward, and Bruce Feldman. That's the Fox game. UC Davis is at Cal. That's 3:30. And, oh, yeah, the Oregon game. All right, Steve, get this through your head. I need a moment here.
Okay, go ahead. You got it.
4:30. It's not 3:30. 4:30. It's not 3:30. And that's on ABC with Chris Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit, and Maria Taylor. That's also the national ESPN radio game. Of course, we'll have the call on our triumvirate of stations, starting with our pregame at 12:30. So that one, you feel better about yourself now?
Not even.
The Pac-12 After Dark has an ESPN game. Jason Benetti, I know. Rod Gilmore, I know. Quint Kucinich, I have no idea who that sideline reporter is. I guess by the time I go to sleep Saturday night, I will. That's 7:30, the 7 o'clock game on the Pac-12 Network. Washington State and New Mexico State. So I told you, I was looking forward to arriving on this day, at this time, and looking at the schedule, thus, we did. We're talking about the quarterback situation in conference. And while you had, you know, obviously Justin Herbert as a lock, Khalil Tate was a lock. I thought DTR for UCLA was a lock. It turns out he is the starter, the true sophomore, as Austin Burton, Chip Kelly's got as the backup. And we know Jacob Eason, in fact, wound up the starter for Washington. Chris Peterson finalized that. You know, we did this in mid-July, and then I did a little update, but so David Shaw going with KJ Costello. Heck, he was one of the guys who traveled to Media Day. And, you know, David Lombardi of The Athletic wrote a piece a couple of days ago about following the footsteps of Kevin Hogan or Andrew Luck. So no surprise there. Costello won the job from Abbott last year in week 4 when Keller Christ suffered a concussion and the offense did show a little bit more zippity-doo-dah. And we talked about this, I think, maybe it was last week. It would have been silly the week before I wasn't here. Unless I'm just wandering around my neighborhood. Just, hey, what do you think about the Stanford quarterback situation?
I very much see you doing that on a lot of your walks, though. People are walking by, and you know, you're just playing music.
Well, I'm out there a lot with my dog, so right, people know me in the neighborhood.
Right, so they're just like, okay, so that's Steve the dog guy, and then all of a sudden on a vacation, that guy just keeps asking me about sports. I don't know what's going on. It feels like he just wants to talk about stuff.
Yeah, and it's not only that, but he's, like, being really specific. Like, who do you think's going to win the quarterback job at Stanford? It's like, I'm not that big a sports fan. I kind of follow the Ducks. I don't feel this is my responsibility. And now when I see him walking by, I'm shutting the doors and the lights and hiding under the couch.
Nobody's home!
Jake Washington. Jake Browning gone. You know, you had the Eason transfer from Georgia, and it's kind of strange because it was like, wait a minute, he's really going to go across the country and not play? And, you know, Chris Peterson may have been engaging in a little bit of coach speak, but then there was an article a week ago Sunday in the Tacoma paper and that Jake Haener was in the mix. So it turns out Haener wasn't really in the mix. He lost the gig and he said he's leaving. And, you know, everybody gets so bent out of shape. We saw how people reacted. I mean, fans booed Andrew Luck, schmucks. And, you know, everybody's ripping on Haener. None of these kids want to stick it out. And it's like, actually, and I'm of the belief of each situation offers a different circumstance, in that if you really were tight and you really thought you had a chance to play, just to kind of, well, if I'm not starter, I'm leaving. I don't know that I'm all that comfortable with that. I'm also not that comfortable with saying, well, you have to stay even though you're not going to play. I mean, who the hell am I to tell somebody? If they want, you know, maybe they have come to the realization if they're not going to start at a place like Washington or Pac-12 school, that maybe their NFL shot is a fantasy. So if it's like, look, dude, you ain't playing in the league. And they're like, well, then at least I want to spend my 4 years playing. Would you rather go to the Big Sky or to a different division or to a Mountain West school or something like that? Washington State, like we mentioned, had Gardner Minshew appear just as a dream. You know, he was the transfer from East Carolina, where he just had 3 wins over 2 years. He was spectacular last year, stepping into that gut-wrenching situation with the death of Tyler Helinski. And remember, he had them in the playoff hunt till later than any other Pac-12 team last year. Ended up going to the Jaguars in the sixth round. Then when it appeared this season's competition to start would drag on to the last moment, you had Gage Goobrood in the mix. Leach himself said if they had to play, and this is going back a week ago, it would be redshirt senior Anthony Gordon, a JUCO transfer, who backed up Minshew last year. Trey Tinsley was also in the mix. And so naturally, I went to the depth chart for Washington State, and yeah, they didn't post one either. If I remember 2016 correctly, we got the depth chart, and then it was from Coach Helf on the Friday, like would have been last Friday, so like 8 days before, because the big story that day was, kid from Sheldon, second. He's the backup. And I remember that happened that Friday show, and there was a lot of talk about, you know, is he seriously pushing at the time Dakota Prukop, and, you know, how legit was that? What does it say about him? You know, Prukop in, like, Vernon Adams the year before is a one-hit wonder. You started to think about Justin Herbert as the quarterback of the future. Lo and behold, halfway through the season, he gets the gig. There were some injuries, but, he's been the starting quarterback since October of 2016. As for Yonatan Smith and Oregon State, you know, I was reading in the paper today that who wrote the article? Steve, is that Gress of the Corvallis Gazette Times? You know, they've only won 14 out of their last 60 games since 2013, that winning season where they won the Hawaii Bowl with Mike Riley as their coach. And they've got the lowest over-under by far in the conference. And, you know, you listen to the guy who feel like, sorry, I dropped something. I had to carry the microphone with me and go down and get it. I could pick it clean with the best of them. And the question was, well, you know, who's going to start at quarterback? And well, now we could attest to the fact it's Jake Luton, a redshirt senior. You know, boy, he's a big dude at 6'7". And Tristan Gebbia, who many of you have said kind of keep an ear out for because he seems like a guy Smith really likes and believes that moving forward, he will fit what they're doing very well. And, you know, obviously they've got Jamar Jefferson, who's now a sophomore, is just fantastic. Isaiah Hodgins is a really good receiver. You know, they've got a couple of sophomores who, by the way, check this guy. And tell you the truth, I haven't paid that much attention to Oregon State. Their redshirt sophomore, Champ Flemings, 5'5", 141. I don't know that I remember seeing that at this level in the last couple of decades. As far as, you know, they've got the Friday game, and they have Oklahoma State in. That's on Fox Sports 1. By the way, look who's doing sideline reporting now for FS1. Remember Shane Vereen, the running back from Cal? Yeah, he's going to work with Justin Kutcher and our buddy Petros Papadakis, who we've had on the show a couple of times. That stuff always gets me because, you know, especially in the case of players, so you saw a playing conference and then, you know, they moved on to the NFL, and Vereen was actually with New England and then the Giants. Always a really good receiver out of the backfield. His first year with the G-Men in 2015, I mean, he had 60 catches. Then he was injured in 2017, had another 44 catches. I mean, this guy ended up with not quite, but you know a back is primarily a pass catcher when they only have like 100 more carries for their career than receptions. I mean, but this is a guy who, you know, had a seven-year NFL career, ended up with 221 catches, 356 rushes, and now at the tender age of 30, he starts his broadcasting career with Fox. So good for him. I remember he was a really good player at Cal and was a second rounder of New England in the 2011 draft. So he actually played against the Giants in that last Super Bowl they made. He also, if memory serves correctly, I think he also returned punts. And no, he absolutely got a ring with New England the year they beat Seattle. So Luton's a starter. Then you got Cal with five quarterbacks on the roster. And let me see if... nope, still no depth chart. So I would assume it's going to be Garbers. The UCLA transfer, Devin Modster, seem to be getting a little bit of love. But either way, hopefully these people at College Press Box, if you're listening, will update your website. The guy Nick Kranz of California Golden Blogs did a preview, and I've mentioned this a few times in the past couple weeks. There was no team in FBS who had a better defense and worse offense than Cal. I mean, you're ranked 15th and 115th. I mean, there's not a lot of wiggle room there. But no explosiveness on the offensive side of the ball. I think they were last in conference, last maybe among Power Five, or right in there with what you would call explosion plays, running or passing more than 20 yards, which, man, in this day and age with the speed and athleticism, if they know how limited you are, man, they will pack it in there and just dare you. I double dare you to go over the top, and they never did. All right, let's take our first break of the Monday edition of the program.
Game week.
We'll come back. We'll have a Coors Light update, and we'll have more crunch time. 95-3 The Score. You have $97 million. That would make it a lot easier. Now, I'm not holding anything against Andrew Luck, but you could never, I mean, how many people could actually on a, and I'm not saying on a whim, let's say over the last several years, you work at a job, you're developing an ulcer, you're a lot of antacid, you don't sleep at night, it's affecting your health, it's affecting your relationship, you're a little bit of a crab ass, and then one day you're like, this isn't going to get better, I can't go on like this. And you look and you're like, The mortgage is due the first of the month. I've got $186 in savings. My wife is working part-time because, you know, the kids just started school. Yeah, I'm going to work today. So I'm with Andrew Luck, and he has every right to walk away from the insanity that is playing football. And, man, Skip Bayless. In the world of ulcers, he's what's known as a carrier. So the Yankee, I know this sounds like, what the hell the Yankees have to do with it? So I timed my workout on Saturday around the Yankees and Dodgers being on Fox Sports 1. This way, I could watch the first four innings or so, and then, you know, I could get in there, do a little total gym, do a little exercise, do a little elliptical, you know, spread it out over like the last four or five innings over an hour and 15. So that was my workout room. The game was on Fox Sports 1. This morning, I get on my exercise bike. I just put the TV on. I don't even realize what's on, and it's Bayless. Within a minute, I wanted to take the elliptical, the exercise bike, and the remote and throw it through the TV. You know what his take was? And don't tell me this isn't clickbait for audio. I'm never sure Andrew Luck was in love with playing football. And it's like, are you freaking kidding me? I mean, he played high school as a four-year starter in Texas at a school where they kind of take it seriously. Won a scholarship to Stanford where, yeah, you really don't have to take much serious to pull that one off. Started as, what, he played 3 years. He's a
Yeah,
9, 10, and 11, he was in the 12 draft. He gets picked first, gets the crap beat out of him. I mean, have you ever seen a quarterback with more pictures and more video of him getting the crap beat out of him, getting up and patting the lineman or the linebacker on the head like, good play, dude. He put up, so that's 4-3-7. Well, that's half his life playing his ass off at the highest level that he was at that time. But this jerk, I'm not sure he ever was in love with playing football. Oh, God, just somebody smack him. All right, Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline is wide open. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Wes. Wes, good afternoon. How's it going?
Oh, Skip Bayless, one of my favorites. I'm going to start a new rage room, and there's going to be two TVs in it. One's going to have Fox News on it, the other one's going to have a loop of Bayless. And then you're just given a sledgehammer and have at it.
Sledgehammer, all right.
Well, you know, tennis racket would take longer, but, you know, maybe golf club. I think golf club would be good.
Yeah. Oh, no, I would love to swing my golf clubs in rage. I usually do.
Yeah, I don't want to tell you stories about that. So you were going through the quarterback list. Anthony Gordon was named the starter for Wazoo.
Uh-huh.
I saw an interesting statistic on an article about you know, Leach's his record with bringing in 1 year starters.
Yeah,
that three years in a row was like 2004, 2005, 2006, something like that at Texas Tech. He had a fifth year starter every year, a different guy, and every one of them had thrown like eight passes in their career, and all three of them led the nation in passing their 1 year in the program.
Yeah, well, and, yeah. You also have to
incorporate. I know it's the air raid, so there's that, right?
Right.
It is the air raid, but you know, the one guy, the first one, I don't remember their names, but he had like 5,800 yards, and just insane amounts of. And then so I, you know, it's not surprising if you get a guy that works in the system. I wouldn't surprise me if Gordon does it again this year too.
No, it wouldn't be, and I appreciate the call, Wes. The thing that's fascinating about Leach and his quarterback is it's not that they lead the nation in attempts. It's by how many. It's like a total different deal. Like they'll have 720 pass attempts. Like sixth place will be 100 less, second place, and third place, it's just it really is fascinating. And there was a couple years ago where it's like, so they're kind of running the ball, and you're not allowed to use the B word in front of Leach. Balance. So here it was. This is from last year. Washington State, first in the country in pass attempts, 677. Ohio State, 561. By the way, the irony, Texas Tech, where Leach came here from, but 535. Only three schools over 500. The school in fourth had 200 less attempts. That's, you know, over 12 games. It's insane. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Bring in Josh. Josh, how's it going?
Hey, Steve. I'll tell you something. One thing about this Andrew Luck thing is it's given you no shortage of people to nominate for the tool shed this week between the fans and that garbage take from Doug Gottlieb.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
It's weird. I used to enjoy listening to Gottlieb when he was on this station, but I've listened to him a couple times. He moved to Fox, and I don't know what it is about the Fox guys with, like, Skip Bayless and him. It's like they're all clickbait, and he says all these things that are way over the top that he got buried on social media between people bringing up the credit card stuff again and putting his basketball shorts backwards, and then Troy Aikman just handing
it. Oh, my God. For anybody who didn't see it, Gottlieb basically said that it was the most millennial thing ever, I believe, him not wanting to work hard to come back from rehab. And then Aikman actually cursed. Somebody said that's the first time he's ever cursed on Twitter. Here it is. Retiring because rehabbing is, quote, too hard is the most millennial thing ever. And he hashtagged it Andrew Luck. And Aikman said BS without saying it that way and just really challenged him and went off on him. That was really a hell of a response from the Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I thought it was fun reading this weekend. But, I mean, that's just a clickbait take. But those fans that are, like, booing him, walking off the field, I mean, these guys, it just tells you that when it comes to sports, people get caught up in their own, you know, per little world and their own fantasy team or whatever. And, you know, they forget for a minute these guys are people. And this is a job where they're putting their bodies and their, you know, and their health on the line every day. And they got families to look and a future to look forward to. And for people to not see that, it's just garbage.
No, it's, let's say it's disappointing. No question
about
it. Yeah,
very disappointing. All right, take care, Steve.
Take it easy, Josh. So for, this goes back, my bad. Because I said yesterday, this was the Saturday story. So at Gottlieb's show, who, when he was on here, I mean, he was on right before us, I thought the entertainment, the information, the interviews he did, working with Adam Klug and some of the others, there was a great element of humor to it. And I don't know, is it working under that Fox umbrella where you feel like everything's got to be a hard take and an adamant stance and draw attention rather than, you know, I'm not big on being sensationalistic unless the circumstance calls for it. But so the tweet was, like I said, retiring because rehabbing is too hard. Most millennial thing ever. Hashtag Andrew Luck. Troy Aikman, that's total B-U-L-L-S-H hashtag Doug. Although he spelled it out. What qualifies you to decide how someone should live their life? So now you're the authority on what motivates Andrew Luck, and if his decisions don't fit into what you think is best for him, then you rip him? Guess that keeps you employed on FS1. Nice. Now, what's the interesting factor here? What network does Aikman work for?
Fox.
Yep.
Which is what the F in FS1 stands for.
Well, while I was reading that, I wasn't thinking that until... Was that you who tweeted out Fox on Fox Crime?
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious.
No, that was great. That was a good get.
I mean, it's just, you know, like, of all of the... I mean, you look at the numbers on that Gottlieb tweet, which, you know, he's going to send to his bosses. Wow, I had 15,000 people reply to my tweet. Look at this engagement. Look how many people saw this tweet I sent out, guys. Please give me a raise. But it's 15,000 people telling him to, like, what the hell are you saying, Doug? This is the dumbest take I've ever heard.
From him.
And, you know, yeah, they talk about the ratio on Twitter, whether it's, like, replies to retweets or replies replies to favorites. It was 15,000 replies to 1,000 people retweeting it, and most of the people retweeting it are just asking for other people to reply in
right,
on the fun of bashing him, because it's the dumbest possible take ever. And for Troy Aikman, of all
people... Didn't make any sense.
For Troy Aikman, of all people, to step in and to be the guy, like, a voice of reason for Doug Gottlieb on top of, you know, 15,000 other people is just crazy. Like, that, you never hear anything interesting about Troy Aikman saying anything, even, you know, if it's during a football game. He is strictly right between the lines, you know, exactly what you're going to get out of him. And he came out of here and basically put Gottlieb on a tee and hit a home run. It was unbelievable.
I like this one woman, Mary Hilliard. I'm not a sports fan. It just pissed me off seeing people ripping their shirts off angry at the man for quitting. That has to be the dumbest reaction. And she didn't even know. She goes, like this Andrew Luck owes anyone entertainment at the risk of his health. Grow up, sports people. And I was like, you know, every once in a while it is really helpful. Informative. It gives a different perspective when somebody who doesn't live in our world, and really probably when, because I was over at my son and daughter-in-law's having dinner, and we were watching the Miami game, and all of a sudden I'm like, whoa. Ty's like, what? I'm like, Andrew Luck just retired. I mean, I was hearing it as it was happening in real time. And you know, before anybody really drops the hammer with a, you know, a melodramatic take, were we real? Because remember, we've been down this road with Ursay and the Colts and Luck. Is anybody willing to go out on a limb and say, well, he was only going to miss a couple games. He was going to be ready for week three. Do we even know that he can actually play football in the NFL this season? I don't think we even know that. I mean, he's got a shoulder. He's got a neck injury. He's taken some bashes. So, yeah, really disappointing. Not surprising, though. One more call before a break. Let's get to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, bring in Brad. Brad, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, Steve. I just wanted to say I'm, as a fan, I'm sad to see Andrew Luck go.
Yeah, me too. That's a good one.
I thought he'd always had a lot more upside than he was able to show due to the injuries. And as far as the franchise, that franchise has plenty of bad karma and deserves a little bit of, I mean, I feel nothing for the Colts getting screwed out of their starting quarterback a couple weeks before the season. They deserve it.
All right. I like
all,
that
I
one.
Mean, all you have to say is Ursay driving away in the middle of the night out of Baltimore. Like, I just...
Yep. The greatest quote was his mom saying, yes, he's the devil himself.
Yep.
By the way, yep. I'm so surprised the Beltway guy has a take like that, Brad. You really caught me off guard there.
Well, I was never a Colts fan. You know, I
right,
like the
right,
other
right.
franchise. But I have lots of friends who were, and just watching those news reports of those Mayflower trucks,
the snow and the Mayflower trucks in 1983 for eternity is burned into our memories.
Yeah, and it seemed like one of the first. I mean, it was the first one I was really aware of a team getting stolen out from under a fan base. And you know, granted, Memorial Stadium was a hole, but they didn't deserve that. Baltimore didn't.
Oh, of course
that.
Not. The Colts fans were legendary.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, have a good one, Brad.
Yep.
The one of the best takes was from, ironically, Vegas Duck Fan 58, who put the GIF up of the movie Stand By Me with one of the kids going, you guys want to go and see a dead body? Based on the takedown of Aikman by Gottlieb. It was pretty funny. All right, that brings us to break time. We'll do just that. We'll come back and we'll Richter scale our way out of crunch time next. 95-3, The Score.
You
Crunch Time on 95.3 The Score is brought to you by Guarantee RV Supercenters. Family owned and operated for more than 50 years. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
Late in the night, everybody at the table is all in. Tate. They're going to take their shot up here. 5 seconds.
He
Tate
can go. He can go.
Roll.
He
Tate
can do this.
He's going to have the lead.
I don't know if I've ever heard anything like that.
He's got a lead.
Hawaii wins by a yard. Well, I laid the rainbow and 2.5 feet. So I guess I win. That's CBS Sports Network. Carter Blackburn on the call. That's a crazy loss for Arizona. What a wild, 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 wild game. 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We need to get to it here since it's the final segment of Crunch Time on a Monday. Let's get to a little something we call the Richter Scale.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Run away! Run away!
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Other people want it. It must be good.
So it's bad. How bad?
Oh, my God. That's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
How many Colts fans do you think actually said those exact words when the Andrew Luck retirement? Oh, my God. That's the worst thing I've ever heard
ever
in my life.
Ever heard. Wow.
Welcome to the Richter Scale, everybody. That's how we wrap up the 3 o'clock hour of Crunch Time every Monday by talking about the weekend that was. And there's no way to sugarcoat what happened this weekend with Andrew Luck announcing his retirement at 29 years old, just 2 weeks before his 30th birthday. We knew about the injuries he'd been dealing with for about the past 3 years, but we obviously don't know what kind of toll it took on Luck's mind. It was shocking just on so many levels. The time of year it happened, 2 weeks before the start of the regular season. The person. It's hard to find anyone who loved football more than Andrew Luck, and the position. We're now entering an age where the quarterback could possibly play into his late 30s, and I'm sure the Colts had Luck penciled in as their starter for probably 8 more years. How is this not a 10 on the Richter scale?
There's no way around it. It's like we said, the NFL, I've told you this before, it could be Game 7 of the NBA Finals with 12 seconds to go. It could be bases loaded, Game 7 of the World Series. If somebody said Tom Brady was wearing a different wristband for the opener in 6 months, they would break in. This is an actual story. 9 days before the start of the NFL season, it's an 11.
I don't think they broke away during the game, but I mean, ESPN was throwing up in bright red, very distracting, loud colors. Andrew Luck is retired out of absolutely nowhere. Speaking of that college football game, that Luck news broke during what was supposed to be the biggest week of the year so far for college football in their marquee week zero game between Florida and Miami. So let's get to what should have been the biggest story of the weekend. Football is back, people. The first game of the year wasn't great. Both teams struggled most of the night. Plenty of wild plays. Florida went for it on fourth down like 18 times, but there we were late in the night. It was a one-score game with number 8 Florida pulling out the win, and not sure how much can be taken from one game in a week zero game at that. Florida in the SEC has to battle it out with Georgia and could possibly be a sleeper team in the SEC. I believe it's in the East. So how big of an impact will Florida's win have on their season?
On Florida's season? At this point, I don't know how much, because I'll tell you what, that Felipe Franks dude, he's a mistake waiting to happen. I mean, that was a nice play he made on the touchdown run when they really needed it, but they're going to struggle offensively. Miami's a good defense, but the SEC's got a lot of good defenses. I don't think that win in the end is going to do very much for them.
All right. The Pac-12 ended their season struggling through bowl games in 2018, and they started off 2019 the same way. Arizona came up a yard short as Khalil Tate scrambled for what would have been a game-winning TD against Hawaii in a game with over 1,000 yards. That was very much a classic Pac-12 after dark, even though it was to be played in the daytime in Honolulu. Somehow, Arizona wasn't able to capitalize on 6 turnovers from Hawaii and, again, came up a yard short. It's unbelievable. How classic of a Pac-12 start was it for the Pac-12 this year with Arizona losing like that to Hawaii?
Unfortunately, it just played right into the narrative. And there's a school in this place called Eugene who hopefully is going to bring a delete button with them. Because if they beat Auburn, that game is pretty much forgotten. But that plays, the answer to your question is it plays right into it.
Last one, in a battle between two of the best teams in baseball, the Yankees took on the Dodgers in Hollywood Land this weekend. Both teams had 83 plus wins going into this series, and it ended with the Yankees taking 2 of 3. Domingo Herman got his 17th win of the year, which is just incredible. And while the Dodgers are the class act of the National League, there's no doubt about it, the AL is a different story. The Yankees have their starting pitching woes. The Astros are stronger than ever, but there's also the Twins, A's, and Indians who are damn good as well. So here's to hoping whoever comes out of the American League isn't too tired or worn down to take on the Dodgers come October. How sure are you that this weekend's series between the Yanks and the Dodgers was a World Series preview?
Not even almost. I am not sold that the team that isn't going to emerge from all of this isn't the Nats. And I am, I'm telling you, their offense with that big three, especially if they can host and get through. Of course, then they'd face the Dodgers in round one.
Never won a playoff series.
And no. I do not even almost trust the Yankees pitching. And Severino better get healthy and good and fast. All right, break time. Be back 4 o'clock hour. Sports Talk is next. 95.3 The Score.
I got a lot of problems with you people.